Welcome back to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. How an issue is portrayed in the media can have a huge effect on how it's perceived by the public. When it comes to climate change, a lot of attention has been dedicated to how much the issue is covered and whether that coverage is scientifically accurate. Now, a new analysis of more than 37,000 articles from 45 countries around the globe suggests that a key factor in how climate change is covered is economics, the country's per capita GDP specifically. Wealthier countries are more likely to emphasize domestic politics and the scientific evidence behind climate change, while media in poorer nations tend to focus on the impacts of climate change and the need for international policy solutions. Hong Tian Vu is an assistant professor of journalism at the University of Kansas and the lead author of that new study. Welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Let's start with how you would even do a study like this. I mean, 37,000 articles. How do you find and gather them, and how do you analyze them? Hopefully this is not you reading 37,000 articles about climate change.
Oh, no. We didn't really read individual articles, but it took us a while to actually download all the data from different databases. We look at three different kinds of databases and also newspaper websites to download all the news stories that had climate change in the lead or in the headline.
And why go to this kind of effort? I mean, it seems natural to assume that just like climate change impacts and climate change policies vary from place to place, that climate change coverage would vary from place to place. Why is it important to understand and document those differences?
Oh, we've been talking about climate change for quite a while now. Actually, climate change has become an important issue in the public discussion for the last 30 years. But we have to acknowledge that we haven't done really well in terms of communicating climate change to the public. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to look at more a global perspective, because climate change is a global issue. Is going to affect every country in the world. And no single country can claim that we are not going to be affected by climate change. So that is why we want to approach this with a global perspective, looking at how people might receive different kind of information through the news media channel about climate change.
I think, Hong Vu, the most shocking thing to me about the results of your analysis is that looking across 45 countries, as we said, tens of thousands of articles, that you found no place that tends to frame climate change as an immediate problem requiring national level policy. How can that be? How can nobody be talking about it in these terms of immediate need for national policy?
I think that because climate change has been portrayed as a very distant issue, something that we cannot control. So most of the time, the media has failed to portray it as an urgent issue that we need to deal with now. And that is a big concern for scientists in general. And for many countries, because of this priorities, they may portray climate change as an issue of other people, like somebody else's issues, not my issues.
You know, it's interesting to hear you say that, because certainly I hear from climate scientists and those who study public opinion about climate change in the United States, I hear that all the time, right? That Americans don't view climate change as a here and now problem, or maybe they're starting to, but they haven't typically. They viewed it as somebody else's problem. But it's interesting to hear that those somebody else's also aren't viewing it as their problem. They're viewing it as somebody else's again.
Exactly. And this is also in my research agenda. We are now looking at what kind of messages that we are seeing every day about climate change, not just on the news media, but also on social media. What kind of messages in terms of like impact, what kind of impact that we are seeing in those messages, whether the impacts are very relevant to us, like close to us, whether it's local, national, or global. So we look at different aspects of climate change in messages by nonprofit organizations and also news media as well.
Well, Hong Vu, let's dig into what you are finding some of those messages are in the news media around the world. Also interesting to note that richer countries, those with a higher per capita GDP, tend to frame climate change as a political issue. And again, that's very familiar here in the United States, where we know we have this very polarized partisan public debate about climate change, about climate science, not just climate policy, but to hear that that's a broader phenomenon in wealthy countries, not just a U.S. phenomenon.
Exactly, because they really have to look at what kind of resources should be allocated to fighting climate change. And that would kind of start the debate about whether or not we should have this kind of policy, whether or not we should adopt this kind of law in order to curb greenhouse gas. And that has a lot of a political aspect into it as well.
Obviously, how much, how many resources, what types of resources are available to deal with climate change is going to be a pressing debate in poorer countries as well. What's different about the framing of the climate change issue in the media in those countries?
So the media in general tend to follow the priorities of the nation, right? So in poorer countries, for example, people are still thinking about, what am I going to eat today? A lot of people are still dealing with more sort of like urgent issue that would affect their life. So that is why climate change, something is very distant, could be like the least priority for the country. So they don't really have the kind of resources to think about it right now.
And yet, at the same time, here in the United States, we tend to hear how in some of those countries, climate change is perhaps one of the most pressing threats to food production, how droughts or floods are displacing people from their homes and causing food shortages. It might, to us here in the United States, seem surprising that, in fact, climate change isn't ranking higher on the list of priorities.
You are absolutely right, because climate change is happening, and it has happened for quite a while. And if we don't do that, we are going to see more pressing problems like you just mentioned, like food, immigration, conflicts in the world. As it certainly is going to affect the United States for sure, because with the accelerating globalization, we cannot avoid those problems.
Hongvu, it's interesting you mentioned that the media trends tend to reflect or follow the social and political priorities of a country. Now, obviously, media news coverage is reporting what is happening and what people are saying, so it has to reflect that in some way. But we also tend to think of the media as shaping those public discussions. Can you, in this analysis and in your work, start to untangle the chicken from the egg, the cause from the effect? I mean, is the media coverage influencing how climate change is viewed and how it's reacted to, or is it really just reflecting what's already there?
So we didn't really look at the effects of the news coverage on public opinion in this particular study, but there have been a lot of studies that look at that, whether what kind of messages that people are exposed to, whether or not it would motivate them to act on climate change. So there has been scientific evidence that if you portray climate change in certain light, people will not feel motivated.
Mm-hmm. Hongvu, you've said that this analysis is really looking at the framing of climate change coverage in different countries, not necessarily putting a spin on it, but just kind of what lens the media is bringing to their coverage of climate change. I wonder if you looked at all at the scientific accuracy of that coverage, because that's something that has gotten a lot of attention, at least in the United States. Is the media portraying the reality of climate change accurately in these different places?
So we didn't really look at or compare the portrayal in the media and also scientific evidence to find whether or not the portrayal is accurate. But there have been studies out there that prove that sometimes the media portray climate change inaccurately. For example, like a recent study that I have read said that the media tend to portray climate change as an unsettled issue, an issue that is still in debate. Why, overwhelmingly, you could see that scientists agree that climate change exists, and we agree that what causes climate change. But the media tend to focus on the conflict aspect, the balanced norm that could affect how climate change is presented in the news.
Is that true around the world, or is that just an American phenomenon?
I think it's more or less in developed countries where people and different actors trying to influence the news media in a certain way.
Hongvu, based on what you've done now, this data set that you have and the trends that you have found in differences between wealthier and poorer nations and how they frame climate change, where do you go with this next? What kind of questions does that raise for you?
So the question that we are interested in now is about what kind of messages that would help motivate people to take action. And we're looking more at also at global perspective, and we are investigating the nonprofits, organizations, communication on climate change. So we look at different countries. We also want to compare the differences between richest and poorer countries and see what we also wanted to answer the questions like, how do we best communicate climate change so that people will understand it, people will take action to fight against it.
Hong Tianvu is an assistant professor of journalism at the University of Kansas studying media framing of climate change around the globe. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Until next week, this is Living Lab Radio. You can always connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Heather Goldstone. Thanks for listening.
Living Lab Radio is produced by WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio in Boston. It's produced by me, Elsa Partan, and Heather Goldstone is executive producer. Funding for Living Lab Radio comes from the Candida Fund, investing in transformative leaders and ideas. Theme music by Stellwagen Symphonette.